Grace, peace, and mercy to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Our text for meditation this morning comes from the Gospel according to St. John, the 6th chapter, where Peter says to Jesus, "Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life." It seems we live in a culture of death. Much of society today has an increased tolerance, if not outright celebrates, people choosing death as a solution to suffering, pain, and life crises. It's the view that death is your very good friend who'll cure all of your problems. But death is not a friend, it's an enemy. Scripture teaches that death is the last enemy to be destroyed. Death was not part of God's original plan. Our Lord created us for life. In the beginning, God created. And the crown of his perfect creation was mankind. He created one man, then one woman, and they were to be joined as one flesh. And God placed our first parents, Adam and Eve, in the midst of the garden as his stewards, saying, "Be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth." And from there forward, the instructions were really simple. The Lord God commanded the man, saying, "You may surely eat of every tree of the garden, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil you shall not eat, for in the day that you eat of it, you shall surely die." These instructions are really simple. It's do this and don't do that. You see all these trees over here? You can eat from any one of them. But that one right there, don't eat from that one, or else you will surely die. Scripture records that the serpent was more crafty than any other beast of the field that the Lord God had made. He said to the woman, "Did God actually say, 'You shall not eat of any tree in the garden?'" Did God actually say? It's the devil's favorite gimmick, planting a little seed of doubt, getting you to doubt God's word so that you might reject God's word. In a garden, Eve heard the Lord God correctly. She told the serpent, "Look, Mr. Serpent, God said that we can eat from any tree. It's this one over here in the midst of the garden. That one right there we cannot eat of." But having already planted his seed of doubt, the serpent pushes forward. He rejects God's word and he challenges God's integrity, suggesting that the only reason that God doesn't want them to eat of that tree is because it'll make them wise. It'll make them like God. And God doesn't want them to become like him. The serpent says, "You will not surely die, for God knows that when you eat of it, your eyes will be opened, and you will be like God, knowing good and evil." Today, the devil's mode of operation has not changed. He plants that little seed in your mind. Did God really say? And then he lures you in by your own desires until you reject God's word. Satan wants you to believe that your ways are better than God's ways. He wants you to believe that you know what is best for your life and your body. It's as if Satan's telling you, "Come on, man, follow your heart. Control your own destiny. It's your body and your life. Do with it as you please." The devil wants you to believe that you are God and everything concerning your body and life is your choice alone. We know that Eve rejected God's word and she followed the devil's suggestion and the desires of her heart. She saw that the tree was good for food and that it was a delight to the eyes, and that the tree was to be desired to make one wise, and she took of its fruit and ate. Adam, standing there, watching his wife fall into sin, also rejects God's word. He follows Eve, following his own desires. Rather than protecting his wife from sin, he rejects his vocation of husband and allows her to fall into death. And upon seeing that she didn't drop dead right there at that very moment, maybe I can eat from this tree. And he takes a bite. And in that one bite of the forbidden fruit, God's perfect creation was fractured and poisoned by sin. And that sin has been passed down from generation to generation to all mankind, including you and me. And because of that sin, we are condemned to death. And unless Jesus returns really soon, you and I will die and return to the dust of the ground from which we were formed. And God alone knows that appointed time of your death. And it is a sin for you or me or anyone else to hasten that appointed time. Regardless of what you think about your body and your life, God's word says, you are not your own. You were bought with a price. So glorify God in your body. It was on Calvary's cross where Jesus purchased your body in your life with his own life, with his innocent suffering and death, and with his precious blood. Yet rather than follow God's word, you and I prefer to follow Satan's suggestions. You prefer to reject God's word and believe that you are free to do whatever it takes to achieve your own desires and your own happiness and success. You say to yourself, it's my body. I control my future. I am going to follow my heart's desire. The devil's deception has led to defenseless life being made vulnerable from conception going forward. It's made the quality of life be questioned at every stage until the very end. Life is devalued at every stage. And for those families who are faithful to God's command of being fruitful and multiplying, society shames them and accuses them of being reckless for having so many children. As Christians, we mourn the slaughter of innocent babies, and we lament the medical-assisted murder of the sick, the diseased, and the elderly. And this death culture we live in, the fact is, it didn't just begin 50 years ago or 100 years ago. It all goes back to those four little words of the serpent in the garden. For Satan continues to repeat those little words. Did God really say? And sinful man's response is, it's my life, I'll do what I want. Death was not part of God's plan. Our Lord created us for life. And he was not content to stand idly by and watch those whom he had created in his very own image die and return to the ground permanently. God the Father would not let the devil have his way. He would send his only begotten Son into creation to defeat sin, death, and the grave, so that at your death, by faith in him, you might pass through death into everlasting life. In our gospel text, in John chapter 6, Jesus is teaching a difficult teaching. He's teaching that he is the bread of life come down from heaven to do the will of the Father who has sent him. Earlier in the chapter, Jesus tells the crowds, for this is the will of my Father, that everyone who looks on the Son and believes in him should have eternal life, and I will raise him up on the last day. And he goes on to say, truly, truly, I say to you, unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in you. For whoever feeds on my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life, and I will raise him up on the last day. For my flesh is true food, and my blood is true drink. Whoever feeds on my flesh and drinks my blood abides in me, and I in him. Well, the devil didn't waste any time going to work. You can almost hear him in the background whispering in the ears, did that guy really say he's God's own son? Did he really say that he was going to raise the dead on the last day? Did he really say that whoever abides in him and believes in him and believes that eating and drinking his body and blood, they're going to receive eternal life? It was too much for the crowds. They were thinking, this Jesus from Nazareth, he can't be God's son. And what is he suggesting by eating and drinking body and blood? That's cannibalism. Jesus had just fed 5,000 with 5 loaves and 2 fish, plus women and children along with the 5,000. They gladly received his miraculous feeding, but they would not receive his teaching. They would not receive God's word. Scripture doesn't say how many people refused to believe, but it says, after this, many of his disciples turned back and no longer walked with him. And that brings us into our gospel text this morning. As they're all walking away, Jesus turns around and looks at his 12 disciples and says, do you want to go away as well? And Simon Peter answered him, Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. St. Peter's confession is the Christian confession, and it must be your confession as well. Jesus alone has the words of eternal life. Jesus has the words that proclaim victory over sin, death, and the grave. He has the words that overcome death. He has the words that will pull your body out of the grave on the last day, raising you up into heaven, joining your body with your soul, with a glorified body. Jesus has the words to forgive your sin of rejecting God's word, your sin of not enduring sound teaching, your sin of claiming autonomy over your own body and life, your sin of not treasuring life as you ought. Trusting in God's word, you do have the forgiveness of sins, for Jesus' words are the words of eternal life. In our epistle text, St. Paul writes to young Timothy that our Lord's word, as recorded in Holy Scripture, is breathed out by God, and it is profitable. God's word is profitable for teaching. Teaching you how God desires that you live your life according to his good and gracious law. It's profitable for teaching the gospel, what God has done for you and continues to do for you through his Son, Christ Jesus. The word is profitable for reproof, speaking the truth in love, using God's word to expose false teaching and contrary belief to God's word. The word is profitable for correction, calling a sin, and proclaiming what God really does say in his word, calling unrepentant sinners to faith, calling them to repent and believe in the gospel. God's word is profitable for training in righteousness, training the Christian to live a God-pleasing life, a life of piety, equipping you to bear fruits of faith, good works and deeds and tithes and offerings. Not that these things earn you merit or God's favor, but for the mere fact that this is God's good and gracious will for your life, that you might love and serve your neighbor. No other book or whole library or any other thing in the world is able to raise a dying lost sinner, a lost sinner from moving them from unbelief to new life and salvation. Jesus alone has the words of eternal life. And for all who trust in his word and believe in him, they will be raised up on the last day. Let us pray. Blessed Lord, you have caused all holy scriptures to be written for our learning. Grant that we may so hear them, read, mark, learn, and inwardly digest them, that by patience and comfort of your holy word, we may embrace and hold ever fast the blessed hope of everlasting life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. The peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.